Welcome to the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast, here to help inspire and plan your family's next big adventure. Kiki's Big Adventures all started with the award-winning picture book series starring Kiki, the globe-trotting cat, exploring the world's diverse places, people, and cultures. I'm Shannon, the author and creator of Kiki's Big Adventures. Moms and families loved the books and asked for help planning their own adventures, so the podcast was created to help. Adventure awaits! Joining us today on the podcast is Amy Henry, and we are going to take a trip to a place I've never been, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about, Iceland. Welcome to the podcast, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I have seen several people going to Iceland with their families this summer. Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I am a researcher and a consultant, and my specialty in that field is doing research with kids and families. So I get to spend a lot of my life thinking about what families all across the country and really the world want and need and think about, everything from TV and websites to places to go to dinner. Every topic you can imagine, every kind of company you can imagine. My specialty is being able to do that work with kids. So I talk to kids of all different ages, not just my own kids, but all kinds of other fascinating kids around the world. So I kind of live and breathe thinking about what makes a great kid and family experience. And I have loved to travel myself since long before I had kids. And now that I have kids, I have two boys, an 11-year-old just turned 11 named Elliot. And I have a 14-year-old, almost 15-year-old named Owen. And the one thing I learned is that kids love a great experience and it's good for everybody. So I do a lot of mom-boy adventures, the three of us, and we've been to some amazing places and really fun places. And now it's become my second career, I think, just thinking about this. I spent a lot of time thinking about our next trip, thinking about our travel. And Iceland was a trip that we had actually planned for spring break of COVID. Got canceled. And we thought, we'll reschedule for August of that year because everything will be over by then. And that got canceled. And then we rescheduled for last August. And at the time that we were planning our trip, it just seemed complicated. So we postponed the trip once again. So this was our fourth try. Finally made it happen at the end of July.
Yay. Okay. So fourth time's a charm.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's so cool. I love your background, and I love that has to have a great impact on the experiences that you like to create for your family adventures. So tell us about Iceland. Tell us about what you did and all of that.
Yeah, well, we did have four tries. So our itinerary changed a few times because when we first planned it, we didn't know as much. You know, we were doing some research and then we had almost 3 years from planning to traveling to research some more. We went for 9 days and we decided to go a smaller route than what sometimes people try to cover in 9 days, because what we've learned about the way we like to travel is we like to go to places, but we also like to do a lot of very adventurous things. So we went to Reykjavik, we did the Golden Circle, and then we went to the South Coast and mostly stayed, the whole time we stayed in Vik. But every place we went, we not only saw the sights, but we did ATV riding, zip lining, or we hiked a glacier, or we went into a volcano. So we had all kinds of fascinating little adventures every place we went. So we drove a little bit, saw something, and then did a risky sometimes adventure.
Wow. I guess so. With having two boys of those ages, sounds like they're into it.
I think it's become a little bit of a challenge for mom. It's my challenge to excite them and to surprise them all along the way. And then they enjoy seeing me put in unusual situations, like driving an ATV across Black Sand Beach or whitewater rafting, which now has become one of our favorite kind of hallmarks on every trip that we do.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so you guys flew from New York to...
We flew from Newark to Iceland. Actually, we flew into Reykjavik. We spent a few days there and we did a food tour. We did some whale watching. We left town about an hour and a half away and literally went into a volcano. And then we left from there and did the Golden Circle and then the Southeast Coast.
How was the weather at the end of July?
We were prepared. We had been told that no matter what time of year you go, bring your winter coats. So we packed all of our winter coats. We like to travel light when we travel. So we have gone to many places with just a little carry-on each. This trip, we could not do that.
No.
Because we had hiking boots, coats, and we had fleece, but we also had plenty of t-shirts and swimming stuff. So we packed almost like a winter vacation, and I was really glad we did. We had full rain gear, rain pants, rain coats, and we really lucked out. So we got to see the extremes of weather. We did have some sleeting rain, and it felt like snow, but we also got to see some very rare sunny skies.
Oh, nice.
And we got those sunny skies right on the perfect days.
Well, that's a nice mix. So you're in Reykjavik, and it sounds like spending a couple days there is a good thing to do.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. That was one of the questions that I had with the kids. We just weren't sure how long that would last. We booked an event every day, and I think that was a really helpful way to see the city because we could walk, we could see some sights. It's such a walkable, easy city.
Okay.
We could walk all over and see things in the city and felt very comfortable there. And then every day we had a culminating event. We had an experience. So the first day we got there, we arrived early and we were able to get into our little apartment there, which was amazing. So we actually have learned over time that we all get pretty bad jet lag.
Yeah.
We slept for a few hours and then we wandered the city and we stayed in this great location where we could see almost all the major sites were within a few blocks. The main road where all the great restaurants are was also very close to us. So we explored and wandered and we got a lot of miles, a lot of steps in. And then we did a food tour, a walking tour. And it was one of the boys' favorite things about the trip. It was one of my favorite things. And they're fine eaters. They're not super adventurous. They're
right.
Not super sophisticated. They don't eat chicken tenders every meal, but they're kids still. And I wasn't sure how that would be, but we figured at least we would get to see the city with a guide. And it worked out perfectly. They were the only kids on the tour. And it was a lot of young adults who were really fun and a great energetic guide who was a local, which is rare. It's a very small country. And they tried things that they never would have tried with just me. And we got the history of the place. And we also got a lot of the cultural truths about Iceland through him while we were going from place to place eating. Instead of just taking a history tour or something where someone was just talking, like we had activities along the way. They got to interact with a lot of interesting adults. I found this throughout Iceland, but the tour wasn't catered to kids. But also having kids on the tour didn't mean they changed the conversation at all. So they got some great adult learnings. They got some great adult education. And that was really fun for all of us. And it was fun for me, especially being the adult traveling with my two boys, that I could be around some other adults, but not with the kids doing something on their own.
Yeah, very cool. And you also did whale watching. Did you see whales?
We had been told there's parts of Iceland where you really go to see whales. And Reykjavik has a lot of whale watching, but it's not necessarily the best place in Iceland for it. We were in a little rib boat, like a little low to the ground fast boat on purpose because with boys,
right?
Faster the better, more exciting the better. They wanted to sit right up front. And we saw whales right underneath our boat, right next to our boat. So picturesque, like the tail of the whale goes down and two dolphins.
No.
Really close, probably within 25 feet of the boat. It was incredible.
Wow.
The one thing I would say about going to Iceland is the weather is fickle, but they're used to it. So everywhere we went, they would have big parkas for you to wear and big dry suits. So it was really comfortable, really fun. And we really saw some great whales and puffins close to the boat. and almost look like little cartoon characters, the way they're drawn and everything. There's not a lot of wildlife in Iceland. We had one other sighting, which I'll tell you about, but the whales were amazing and the puffins were incredible.
That's so cool. Okay, so then the Golden Circle.
This is the main loop. So if you're there for even a couple of days, you do the Golden Circle.
Got it.
And it's a long drive. We split it up into two. So we did most of the major sites in one day, and we stayed overnight in the Golden Circle. Sometimes people go out to the Golden Circle, and then they come back to Reykjavik. We didn't do the full circle. We did like a semicircle and then went on to another location. And I think that worked out really well for us. There's a lot of waterfalls in Iceland, and my sons are big Marvel fans. So a lot of them make appearances in Thor movies and in Marvel movies. And that was really cool. But I think even with these spectacular waterfalls, we were careful to make sure we didn't make it all about that. You could see a waterfall and then you see a next waterfall. And by the third waterfall, they're like, is this another waterfall? But each of them have like a little bit of a different characteristic too, and different kinds of hikes. We have a few things on our bucket list for our next trip. But one of the things that you can do on the Golden Circle, if your kids are 12 or older, is snorkeling. You can snorkel between the tectonic plates.
Wow.
So we went over and just looked and saw people snorkeling. Apparently, it's very, very cold, but it looks amazing. So we have put that on our list for the next trip when Elliot is old enough to do it. But most of the Golden Circle was like seeing waterfalls. And then they have a geyser area, and that's where we wound up staying. So we stayed right next to the geysers. And the thing that really struck us, we had gone to Jackson Hole and we saw the Grand Tetons and Yellowstone last summer. And we loved it. But you're in America, and so every time you're near these spectacular natural phenomena, there's a path and a fence, and there's closing hours and opening hours, and there's a million police officers or park rangers or people making sure you don't do the wrong thing. Here, you could go right up to any waterfall that you went to. I mean, there were no fences, unless you were on a really high balcony or an overlook. There might be a small fence, but it was very free range. I noticed it, but my kids noticed it right away. And there were times when they could have just gone right under the waterfall if they wanted to. As somebody who does research with kids, I'm always fascinated by when you don't give kids all of those fences.
Right.
They figure out how to manage themselves, and they're a little bit more in awe of the nature because they know it's a little dangerous and someone's trusting them to go right up to the water. Or we have pictures from the geyser. The geyser is definitely not as impressive as Old Faithful.
Old Faithful. Okay.
But you get very close to it. So, you know, you're very close and they just trust that you're not going to do the wrong thing. And we stayed at this hotel right across from the geysers. And it was raining. And so we took a little bit of time off. We had a nice meal. And we said, you know, can we go over? What time does the geyser area close? And they said, well, it doesn't. It's like a natural, like, why would it close? Nature. And so I think everywhere we were, that was one of the most interesting things about the waterfall wasn't even like the tallest waterfall we've seen, but it was open and accessible and you could explore and you could climb a path that clearly was dangerous, you know, that was rocky. And if you didn't have the right shoes on, you would have slipped. But that kind of made for more fun for the
kids. Yeah. You rented a car and drove.
So we did one more thing before we left Reykjavik. We rented the car while we were still staying in Reykjavik. And we went out to this inside the volcano about an hour away. So we tested the car on a little drive. And that was a fantastic experience. And then we came back and then we drove through the Golden Circle and we drove the rest of the trip. Okay. And I was very nervous about that because I'm an adult by myself with two kids.
Yeah.
Everything was easy to see in terms of English and language. Signage was very clear, but it was such an easy drive. They drive on the right side of the road. So there wasn't an adjustment to get used to there. every road that you're on is the main tourist thoroughfare, but it's not crowded. And on either side are fields and mountains and beautiful things to look at. I mean, it was a really easy, fascinating drive.
Neat.
I was very nervous about the gas stations. Every guidebook that you read says you have to make sure you have your credit card PIN and that your credit card works. And of course, like the first couple of times we went, they did not work and we had to like go in, but we figured it out and it was part of the adventure. It was much easier to drive and to even just stop along the way and see things. All of it was very easy.
So then you go the rest of the circle and you go to, you said, the South Coast.
Yeah, we went to Vic, little tiny town, but almost like an adventurous little beach town. So that was where we did a lot of our outdoor activities. It's near some glaciers. So we hiked the glacier. Katla is a volcano right near there. And the story that you hear from everyone is that it is overdue for erupting. It should have erupted. I think now it's about 80 years overdue. All the locals tell you that if it erupts, we all go up to this church, this very like picturesque church, because that's the highest place in town. And you'll have 30 minutes before the waters start coming down. And the waters are supposed to be the size of the four largest rivers in the world combined. And
okay.
So it's from everyone. And then if you ask the locals, they all say they're staying. If it happens, they're staying because they live there. They waited for this to happen. It's exciting. We stayed there and we did zip lining. There's the black sand beaches, which Iceland is really famous for. And they're really just stunning. They're made from volcanic eruptions. It looks like another planet. We did some horseback riding on those beaches. We did ATV riding on another beach. And that is not my thing, but that is exactly what boys
wanted to do it.
And so we did that. And we did two different. We hiked a glacier. And again, same thing as before, like the kids just got a big axe to carry with them. And they were walking about 15 feet behind any guide. And it just works. They just figured it out. So they felt like they were taking a lot of risks. I felt very comfortable. And then we went to an ice cave another day. There were other families in the group, so that was really interesting. Some American families we got to know.
That's cool. So how did you find all of the guides and the tours?
We have worked with Susan, who is our trusty guide. I love planning travel, so I didn't think working with a guide was something that I needed or wanted. But we went to Panama a few years ago, and I didn't know Panama at all. And she really helped us create a route that was really amazing. And since then, we've gone to places either that I've been to before or a place that I was really interested in researching. So we have a really great rapport back and forth where she creates the trip and then I'm also doing research the whole time, feeding some ideas, and we're working back and forth. We usually say, this is the kind of thing that we've seen people do in Iceland. This is what we're interested in. She knows us now. She knows my boys and what they like and what they gravitate towards. She'll plan it and then locate guides that are particularly good for kids and families. Most of the things that we did were pretty standard things to do in these areas. The itinerary itself was great. And I will say one thing they do is they put all the documents for you in an app and all the directions in an app. So as a mom traveling by myself, when we showed up somewhere, I never had the anxiety of, you know, do I have the tickets? Do I have the directions? Do I know where it is?
Yeah.
Start time. It just made it very simple and seamless.
I think that's the great thing about working with an agent or an advisor. Often people think that they do it all and then you're not going to have the experience of doing research, but it's teamwork. It's like having a coach to help you do a lot of the details, and especially keeping working with someone. Then, like you said, they get to know you, and that's really nice.
Yes, we have a shorthand now. She kind of knows the level that we're looking for. And then with activities, I think when she first started working with us, she would plan fewer activities because families often want some downtime, and we're not so much of a downtime kind of family.
You're go, go, go.
We're like, what can we, in fact, even some of the space that she left in the itinerary, when we got to Iceland, we made a few last minute calls to do extra things. We did go to the Blue Lagoon at the end of our trip, but we went to another lagoon that we saw advertised in the airport when we landed in Reykjavik. And we said, oh, that's brand new and it looks so cool. And we went out there one night. There was a Viking restaurant that I found, and it was in the middle of nowhere, seemingly. So it didn't look like it would fit in our plan. But when we got there and realized how easy the drive was, driving an hour to dinner didn't seem like as big of a deal as it did before we left. So we went to this restaurant that it's really a bar and it mimics a Viking ship, but they have free axe throwing there.
Oh, geez.
And you just go to the bar and ask for the axes. And again, they just hand it to my 11-year-old and no instructions. We just start throwing axes around. So there were little gems of experiences like that that we either kind of did ad hoc, even though we had the bulk of our itinerary scheduled.
It sounds like it was just an amazing trip. Did the boys just love it? Was it one of their favorites?
They loved it. And for our 14, anyone who has a 14-year-old boy, most of what you get is fine or good. You don't get a lot of emotion. But there were so many things that they loved. The one thing I forgot to say is on the Golden Circle, we did whitewater rafting. I think that was all of our favorite experience. It was definitely the boys' favorite experience. And that was a day, it was such a great memory. It was pouring rain. It was freezing cold. It was the worst weather possible. And I think anywhere in the U.S., it would have been canceled. But there, they're so used to weather that shifts constantly that they were game to go. And we had a great experience. We jumped off a cliff. And those little moments for me as a mom, seeing my boys take a risk and me taking a risk. I jumped off the cliff.
Go Amy.
We had a running count of dangerous things that we were doing. And I think I won because I ate the shark and I jumped off the cliff.
Whoa.
I think if you're a hardcore whitewater rafter, Iceland isn't necessarily known for like great whitewater rafting, but it was perfect and the scenery was beautiful. The boys felt accomplished in a way. They felt like they actually did something hard and they got through it and they had a blast doing it. And the other thing that we did that might have been my favorite thing was we went inside a volcano. You hike about 2.5 miles one way to a little hut. They make you some hot chocolate, and then you prepare to climb vertically up this little volcano, and then you go down on a little lift into the volcano. And when you get off the lift, again, it's just rocks and it's spectacular scenery wandering around inside this volcano.
Wow.
And then you come up, they make you soup in the little hut. And then you walk back. And when we were walking back, the wind was blowing so hard that the guide had to hold Elliot onto the side. He was like ready to fall off the side of the volcano. There was an Arctic fox at this little hut that they treat like a little pet. It's a wild Arctic fox, but it hangs around there. And so they put out a little dog bowl for it and it comes right up to you. And my son pet it. It was like our dog. It was like,
I love it.
Yeah. So all these little moments, just really special. And the people were incredible, like so lovely and kind and interesting. There's only 300,000 people in the entire country and 75% live in Reykjavik. So in some of these towns, hardly anyone lives there. And they seem like people who are excited to just being interacting with other interesting people. We could have stayed, not eager to leave.
Amy, it just sounds like it was a fantastic family adventure and you've got a whole lot to live up to. What's the next trip?
Well, one of my sons started high school and is on a different schedule than my other one. So we have a mom, Elliot adventure coming up and he's a big hockey player. And a Canada-ophile. So we are going to Montreal and Quebec City. I have been before, but he has not been. So we're doing some hockey adventures. We're going to do some helicopter riding, which we don't usually do on these trips. That's the one risk we don't often take, but we're going to do it. And then we had decided last year that we were going to go back to Italy. But last time we went to Italy, the boys were young, so they don't remember so much. And also, we went to Cinque Terre. We met some family over there. This time, we want to do Rome, Florence, and Venice. And during COVID, we did a lot of outdoor trips. We still traveled and we had some really wonderful trips, but most of those were outdoors. And my older son in particular said he's ready to go back to a city and do that kind of a trip. So
okay,
we're doing that in March. And then we're actively seeking ideas for next summer. I listened to the Morocco episode of the podcast and I have to say I was pretty inspired. It sounds amazing.
It does. And there are some adventures to be had there. So it could check a few boxes for the boys.
Yes. And you're right. We love an active vacation. So now we love the cities mixed in there. And the boys do love city travel, but we're almost looking at places coming up that will allow us to do some of these adventurous things.
I love all of your adventures. Well, obviously you think travel is important with your kids. Why do you think it's so important?
I'm interested in people. That's the work that I do. So I always find it important to understand other people's perspectives and how they live. I find that part of it very fascinating. I don't know if the kids are conscious of that yet, but I think they get that. I think for them, putting them out of their comfort zone just a little bit. And we do travel pretty comfortably, but having a little bit of risk, calculated risk, and having them have to figure out new things with me. And even I think about that gas station experience in Iceland, even having to figure that out, I think it teaches them that you can problem solve and you can get through things. And then as a family, I have two boys who play a lot of sports, who have busy lives. I have a busy life with work. And sometimes when we're home, it's just everybody's on different calendars. Just having dinner together is hard to manage. So when we're away, it's sometimes psychologists call this like a love bomb. It's like a big love bomb. You know, it is a reset. It's a reconnect. We don't have any schedules in the way. The only timetables we have is like, when is the ATV driver expecting us? I think it rewires their brain a little bit, to be honest. They come back and they just feel different. I feel different. And we get to know each other in a totally different way. I love the eating part too. Now that my boys are becoming a little bit more adventurous, that eating tour, they tried things that I never expected them to try. And then they come home and they're thinking about new options for dinner. So something as simple as that really makes a difference, I think, in a mom's life.
Oh, I love it. Well, Amy, thank you so much for sharing your adventure with us. I can't wait to go to Iceland now.
Well, thank you for letting me indulge myself in reliving the trip. It's been a treat to do that.
No, and good for you. You are quite the adventurous mom. Those boys are lucky.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm lucky too.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast. Visit the episode webpage for all the details from today and lots more travel planning resources. We look forward to traveling with you on the next episode. Adventure awaits.